Dear friends, God bless you and welcome to Radio Blast. Hello, Brother Joseph.
Hello, God bless you. How are you?
We have a very interesting topic to discuss today. It's about the rising of the Antichrist and which nations will follow him.
Right, some brethren are believing right, about it.
Yes, some brethren from England, dear brethren who studied the Bible, and they heard your previous teachings, which say that Magog is Russia and Gomer is Europe, and that Russia and Europe will unite with the Antichrist. Now, the question we have is that possible that Russia, together with Europe and the Antichrist, will make one coalition and will fight against America? Because looking at the political situation of today, it's kind of improbable. What do you say?
Yeah, definitely. It looks very improbable. Well, you know, history teaches just like America fought against Germany, and then Germany was siding up a switch camp. It went and joined America in the Cold War against Russia. And then we see things moving around. Italy fought the war together with Germany. At the end, Italy was against Germany. So it's like, you know, political world, politicians, everything goes by national interest, wherever the money goes, wherever politics, etc. So you cannot go too much by appearance.
By logics.
Like in the 20th century, America helped Japan to build the army and everything, and then Japan fought against America. Like in the in the war Iraq-Iran, it was America was giving weapons to Saddam Hussein to fight against Iran. And then they turned around and they fought against each other, America and Iraq. Understand? And now Iraq and Iran, they're trying to do business together again, which before they were making wars. The Americans supplied the Taliban and the Muslim fighting in Afghanistan, the American gave them a lot of weapons to the Afghanis, to the rebels, the terrorists, whatever you want to call them. All right, they armed them very well. I remember when they were fighting against the Russians, the Afghanis were fighting against the Russians, America supplied them with weapons, including the famous handheld missile launcher called the Stinger. And that was terrific. Like that could shut down Russian planes. Anyway, at the end of the story, Russia, they had to leave Afghanistan. And the American, victory, victory, they were yelling. But then, here it is. I mean, all the same Afghanis, and now they've been using the same weapons against America. Okay, that's why in America they're going slowly to arm the rebels in Syria, because they don't know who they're going to use these weapons against tomorrow, maybe against America.
So you're saying the political world is like unpredictable and things can change overnight.
Yeah, exactly. The world without Jesus Christ is like they follow their own interests, and that's it. You know, they don't care what's right and wrong, wherever the money goes, etc. Okay, so don't look at their logics. Like when it comes to Bible prophecy, you never look at the logics. You know, like Medo Persia, for example, was a dual kingdom which overcame Babylon together. First was Darius, the Mede, overcame Babylon. Then Cyrus, the Persian, came and took over. But eventually, Media and Persia, they fought a war together, and Persia won.
Yes.
And so it's like, don't count on it. People just go by whatever their interests are, you understand?
But it's like, we study the prophecies, and we look at the political situation, and we see what fits.
Exactly.
So, considering the fact that you said in the previous teachings that the 10 nations that follow the Antichrist are Europeans from the ex-Roman Empire, there are lots of people who say that the 10 nations are Muslims. So it kind of fits both pictures. The prophecies fit for both situations.
Both pictures.
So how do we know which is the real one?
Yeah, exactly. You have to go to the Bible. You cannot go believe something because Brother Joseph says, or because he doesn't say, or because somebody else on the internet says something else. You have to go to the Bible. You cannot go around, navigate around the internet to see what God is going to do. Internet is not going to tell you what God does. Even I... Don't look to me either. You have to go to the Bible. Like I present to you what in my Bible study I saw and I found. I've been studying from the Bible more than 40 years, and this is what I came up with. That's what the prophecy seems to me. I could be wrong. Okay, but you don't have to take my word for it. You better get on your knees and go to the Bible to find out, okay? Just like in Israel, Jeremiah was prophesying destruction of the temple, destruction of God's people, destructions of everything Israel was for. And all the prophets in Israel, or the priests, they put them in jail, they wanted to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read the book of Jeremiah, the whole book of Jeremiah from beginning to the end. Okay, was prophesying only one thing, was prophesying distractions. And the prophets of Israel prophesying protection of God. God loves us. We are the promises of Abraham.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. At the end, Jeremiah was the only one right, and all the other prophets all wrong. All wrong. Today, most of the church believes rapture before the tribulation, which seems logical. God loves us. God is love, this and that. Yeah, okay. But the church is in the apostasy right now, 2 Thessalonians 2. And there are few prophets, a few teachers who teach that no, the church will be destroyed by the Antichrist. The only part of the church that will survive will be protected, okay, will be the bride of Christ. A part of the church that's a bride because she obeys, she listens, all right, and you can see the protection, Revelation 12, 6, and 14. The rest of the church will be destroyed, Matthew 24. Daniel 11, 31 to 35. You understand? So how do you find out who's right and wrong?
Well, you start from the Bible. But I tell you, certain things can be interpreted both ways.
Yeah.
And then how do you know the truth?
Yeah. Well, listen, Revelation 17:9 says, here is the mind which has wisdom, the seven heads of seven mountains, etc. Daniel 12:10, it says, none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. See, it all goes by wisdom and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go by logics. Or it's all hidden under prophecy, under parables. You have to search and seek. So how do we know if this interpretation is right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to know. You just have to seek the word. Seek Jesus. Seek the personal revelation. You cannot go and die on a mountain be crucified because Brother Joseph says or because Brother Johnny says.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the only way to find out if something is right or wrong, if I'm right or wrong, if somebody else is right or wrong, is to go to Jesus, get on your knees, and he will reveal to you. Look, in Jeremiah 29:13, do you have it there?
Yes.
What does it say?
It says...
That's what Jeremiah, again, that's what Israel should have done to find out if Jeremiah, the only one in Israel preaching destructions of God's people, if he was right, and all the other prophets preaching that God loved Israel, God was a protector of Israel, were wrong. The only way was to find out is the same way to find out if what I'm saying is correct or wrong, if somebody else is saying is right or wrong. Jeremiah 29:13, what is it?
And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
That's it. You cannot tell Mr. Joseph is wrong or right by appearance. You have to go to the Bible.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
All right.
So
any
keep
more
seeking, keep seeking, keep digging in the Word of God until you find the truth.
Exactly. Just go to Jesus. Don't look to me. I'm just a little teacher here. A little messenger, but believe me, I'm not always right. But I can give you a bunch of scripture which it seems to me that this prophecy fits one with the other, and then you have to judge.
So can we find out these 10 nations that will follow the Antichrist, are they European nations or Muslim?
Right. It could be either, okay? Of course, it looks more logical now like the Muslim, because they're waiting for the Mahdi, etc. Now, will the Antichrist be the Mahdi? Well, I believe he will have something to do with it. I don't know if he's going to be exactly a Muslim from Iran or from Pakistan. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I think he might have something to do with Islam. Maybe it'll be Muslim religion. I don't know. Something that to do with the Islamics, with the Muslim world, so that they will identify the Mahdi in this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it says in the Islamic literature, I don't know, the Quran too, maybe, that he will come, and there will be 7 years of war, and after that he will bring everlasting peace. Well, that's a picture of the Antichrist, so it really fits. But however, look, why do I think about that the Antichrist will be the leader of Europe, and he will also be joined by Russia, the Muslim, and others? Why do I believe this? The Muslim will join for sure the Antichrist, but they will not be the only power he's going to have, because there's no way that the the Antichrist, the Jews with the Muslims, is going to fight against America, Europe, everybody else, and Russia, win. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely illogical.
He needs more power than that.
Yeah, I know that these Muslim countries were part of the Roman Empire, but that was the weakest part, the most weak. They were just colonies, which you can hardly call the Roman Empire. They were just oppressed by the Roman Empire.
Yes.
See, an empire is divided by the empire and the colonies. So I don't see like the colonies, like the Muslim nation, would become actually the continuation of Rome.
Yeah, the last empire of the Antichrist.
Yeah, you see, the reason I believe the way I believe is because, look, it's for the following reasons. In Daniel chapter 2, we see a statue which represents the head is Babylon, the arms are Middle Persia, the belly is Greece, and the legs is Rome made of iron. These, the two legs of iron, Daniel chapter 2, becomes 10 toes. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, Rome becomes 10 toes.
Yes.
And Rome was the fourth kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. The sixth kingdom, if you count Egypt and Assyria, which are not included in the prophecy of Daniel 2 because already passed.
Okay.
Daniel 2 begins with a head of gold, Babylon. Okay, so the legs of Rome becomes 10 toes, which is, we see the same thing in the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. Okay, Daniel 7, there are four beasts. First is the lion, Babylon. The second is a bear, Middle Persia. The third is a leopard with the four heads, that's Greece. Okay, and the fourth beast is a horrible beast, which the prophet could not even name, and that was Rome. On the head of this fourth beast in Daniel 7, there are 10 horns. So Rome, the fourth beast, becomes 10 horns, the next kingdom.
Okay.
Rome, the legs of iron, Daniel 2, becomes 10 toes, the following kingdom after Rome, which is the Antichrist.
So they come from Rome in both chapters?
Yeah, no, there are three chapters, actually. Also, Revelation 17, verse 12 to 14, if you want to read it, it's another parallel of this other chapter, which shows the beast or the dragon with seven heads, the same beast dragon, which you see in Revelation, Revelation 11, 12, 13, and 17. The four parallel chapters, it's all about the devil, seven heads, which is the Antichrist. The seven heads, of course, are the seven worlds empire through which the devil has been ruling the world and still will. Okay, in this...
We studied in other classes.
Yeah.
I encourage you, brethren, to go to our radio site and study. There are titles which say why the seven heads are not the Catholic Church or Rome or the popes.
But it's the devil.
But the seven heads are the seven empires, seven, like Brother Joseph
exactly.
Just said. Go there and you can study detailed, because right now maybe we're going too fast for you with Daniel to Daniel 7. We're going fast, but make sure you take the Bible and study everything, like Brother Joseph said. Study
okay.
by yourself.
Okay, but I'm giving you references so you can just sit down with the Bible.
Yes.
So you don't have to believe me, right? So all these chapters, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and Revelation 17, are parallels, all right? So in Revelation 17, why didn't you read the verse 12 and 14? It talks about that the seven heads beast, okay, has 10 horns. Now, on which heads are the horns? On the sixth head.
How do you know?
Because it's like it's on the fourth beast of Daniel 7 that the 10 horns are. And that represents Rome. Understand? It's the 10 toes of the statue of Daniel 2,
yeah.
which is the next empire. And that's a continuation of Rome, the legs.
Yes.
So the 10 horns on the seven heads of the dragon of Revelation 17 must be on the head that represents Rome,
okay,
which is the head number 6.
I see.
You can count in Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Middle Persia, Greece. Okay, and the 6 is Rome.
Yes.
So the 10 horns must be on the head number 6 of the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I know on the internet they show you the dragon with heads with horns spread everywhere. No. That's wrong. The 10 horns are on the head number 6. Okay, so concerning these 10 horns, Revelation 17, 12 to 14, it says?
Revelation 17, 12.
12 to 14.
The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet. But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful.
Okay, so Amen. It's very clear. The Antichrist will fight against Jesus. Okay, they receive power with the beast 1 hour.
What does that mean?
It means that after the Antichrist fights all his war, which are five, okay, in Daniel 11:21-45, all the story of the Antichrist, you count five wars. So it takes him five wars to conquer the world. He had to destroy all the nations that fight him. Mm-hmm. All right? Number one, America. That's called the King of the South. And he is the King of the North. All right. So after he overcomes all the nations, finally he conquers the world. And here comes into being Revelation 13:3, second part, which says the whole world followed after the beast.
At the end.
Yeah, at the end of the Antichrist rule regime, not at the beginning. Mm-hmm. The beginning, the Antichrist will not control the world. They will not implement the mark of the beast, at least not outside the area of his control, which is going to control Europe. Mm-hmm. Okay, in there, Europe is going to be a bad place because there the Antichrist will control it and will enforce the mark of the beast soon. But in other countries, in other nations that will fight against him, the implementation of the mark of the beast will not be so soon, understand? It will be only when it takes control completely. And that will be after it destroys Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, which I believe is America, and then it will take over the world. Okay, back to the point here.
So we found out that the 10 horns come from the old Roman Empire, and the 10 horns are 10 kings, 10 nations who give power to the Antichrist. Now, who are these 10 nations?
Okay, so you understood that clearly, that the 10 horns are 10 nations?
Yeah.
Very clearly, okay? They receive power with the beast for 1 hour as kings. Okay, what does that mean? Well, in 1968, in the Club of Rome, in Rome, they divided the world in 10. If you go on the internet, you'll find that. And so it's like the Antichrist is going to corrupt these 10 nations, say, listen, follow me, and I'll give you the world, just like he told Jesus in mm-hmm. Luke chapter 4, he said, worship me, I'll give you the world.
Yes.
So he's going to tell his followers, follow me, and I'll give you the world. Here, divide. It's already divided. In 1968, they divided the world. He's going to give the world, a slice of the world, to each of his 10 following him. So they receive power for 1 hour, but this will happen after they destroy America, after they destroy the Babylon. Before then, they cannot control the world until America and Israel are fighting against him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So America will be destroyed, Israel will be saved, okay, by Jesus Christ when he comes back in Armageddon. You follow?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then in Revelation 17:12-14, we see that the 10 horns are 10 kings, which will give power to the beast. Now, the 10 horns come from the beast of Rome. They give power to the beast. So they don't begin together. There will be a time, somewhere, someplace, okay, which I believe in Daniel 11, I think of 22-23 over there, that they switch sides. Just like Italy switched sides from the sides of Germany, it went against Germany and in favor of America, mm-hmm. exactly the opposite. Italy switched sides in the middle of, at the end of the war, 1943 basically.
Yeah.
Okay, but Germany kept fighting until 1945, understand? So Europe will switch side from being on the side of America and join Russia. You understand? So this is kind of course, this is not easy to believe, but...
But is this just an interpretation, or you are actually sure about it?
I'm sure about it, because the 10 horns come from Rome. This I'm sure, but you don't have to believe it. I'm sure because in Daniel 2, in Daniel 7, all right, you see that the 10 nations are the 10 horns or the head of the fourth beast. The 10 toes come after the legs of Rome. Of course they come after Rome. And it's not going to be 10 little Muslim countries. Yes, the Muslim will join the Antichrist. Yes, they will follow him.
Because it says in Ezekiel somewhere.
38:1-6.
It says in Ezekiel that the Muslim nations will join the Antichrist. So that is without any doubt.
No doubt.
That the Muslims will follow the
Antichrist. For sure.
The question is, will also Europe follow the Antichrist or not?
For sure. He will become the leader of Europe. In fact, in Daniel chapter 8, you see that actually it shows this very much in Daniel chapter 7, even more. There are 10 horns on the head of the Roman's beast, and there is an 11th horn that comes up stronger than they. It destroys 3 horns, okay, and takes them over. So what's going to happen? The way you see Revelation 17, it says that the 10 will give power to the beast. But then eventually, along the down the road, the 3 of them rebel, and he will destroy the seven left plus the Antichrist, which I believe is Russia, that makes eight, we destroy three horns, understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Three nations who yes. will rebel. You can see that in Daniel 11, verse 43, 44, it says something that looks like that situation. It says, news from the east and from the north will trouble him, and he will go forth to make war and destroy many. I believe that's when, and of course, interpretation, I believe that's when he will destroy the three nations that will rebel against him. After he destroyed those three, okay, he just takes over the world. He takes over the world, and then the whole world goes after him.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Yes. I want to ask you something about the maps, because to understand clearly which nations follow the Antichrist, it's easy if we just look at the maps, because it talks in the Bible about Togarma, Magog, Gomer. But some maps say that all these are Turkey, and it shows on the maps that they are placed in Turkey. Other maps say, no, Magog is Russia, Togarma is something else, and Gomer is Europe. And which maps are the good ones?
Yeah, as you can see, if you search and you type, you go on the internet and type all these things, Gomer, Magog, Togarma, etc., you see, like, you can get confused.
Well, we do.
Well, I prayed about it. You know, what the Lord showed me is that they are right, this map. Most of them are almost all of them right, almost.
They cannot all be right.
Yes, they are. You know why? Because some map shows Togarma, and Magog, and Gomer, they're all together in the area which is today Turkey, correct?
Yes, yes.
This is right. Because Turkey, old Togarma, is the place where Mount Ararat is. You understand? And they are showing that Togarma, Magog, and Gomer, they're all in Turkey. Because that's where Noah's Ark was, in Mount Ararat. When they came down from Mount Ararat, they were all there. Everything, the whole world was there, in Togarma or Turkey, because that's where Mount Ararat is. So, of course, Gomer is there, Magog is there, and everybody else is there, including Noah. But they didn't stay there. They went around colonizing, pioneering, and populating the whole world. You follow?
Okay.
So they start move. Mm-hmm. So if you check a Bible encyclopedias and commentaries like I did, you'll find out that a lot of them, they will tell you that Magog moved. Okay, Magog was the son of Japheth, okay?
Okay.
So it's like Noah, three sons, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Mm-hmm. So Ham went to Egypt and Africa. Shem went to colonize the area of Israel and eastward,
mm-hmm.
all right? And Japheth went north.
North like Europe?
North like Europe. Okay, all the Slavs, all the blonde that came from Japheth. Okay, must have been blonde, I guess. So, some maps and some Bible encyclopedia will show you that Magog, the son of Japheth, all right, went on north of Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. And you can see that. The Scythians, okay, came out from there. And they say, some commentaries say, that the Russians came from the Scythians, which were the people who lived north of the Caspians and the Black Sea. Okay, and they placed Magog over there, which is today would be known as south of Russia. Nobody went to Siberia, of course. They would just stay there. Today, Russia is big. In those days, it was only north of the seas. So, whereas other maps, they show that Gomer moves on to what is like Bulgaria today. And mm-hmm. you see Gomer over there. Other okay. maps show Gomer over Germany. And it's correct, because it's like they continue colonizing and populating those areas. That was exactly the direction that Gomer was going, populating Europe. So when you say Gomer, you say Europe. When you say Magog, you say Russia.
So when it says in Ezekiel that Togarma, Magog, and Gomer follows the Antichrist, which maps you're supposed to follow, the first ones or the last ones?
But they are all correct, because it's like Turkey, where everybody was there, and then the other, then they spread. So In Ezekiel, when it says Togarma, Magog, and Gomer will follow, of course, that if all these people, all this area, all these patriarchs, they were all in Turkey, he would not have said in three different ways, Togarma, Magog, and Gomer. He would have just said Togarma.
Just one of them.
Yes, because see, Togarma, in whatever map you look at, is always Turkey. But not so in Magog and Gomer. They spread around because they didn't remain in Turkey. In fact, they pioneered and populate the north, specifically Russia and Europe. Otherwise, where did they come from? They all came from Turkey because that's where Ararat is.
All right. So you're saying the Ezekiel 38 wouldn't mention Turkey three times.
Exactly.
Togarma, Magog,
yeah, of course,
Gomer.
Very confusing.
Just one time, Togarma, and the rest must be another area.
Definitely.
Okay.
It's like if you want to say Italy, you don't say Italy, Sicily, Lombardia, etc. If you want to say Germany, you don't say north, south, center, etc. You say just one. In fact, that's what he says everywhere else about Libya and Persia and Ethiopia in just one time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mention the same area, the same nation in three different ways.
I see. Okay. All right.
Also, the area of Persia in the days of this prophecy, the area of Persia, Iraq, etc., and today is Jordan, Persia, Iraq, Iran, etc. So in the prophecy, it's just one name. It doesn't have a Iraq. It just has one name, Persia. That's it. That comprehends Babylon, comprehends everything. The Bible is not confusing. You just have to study carefully. So that's it. The reason it mentioned in three different ways, because there are three different areas. Gomer, Europe. Magog, Russia. And Togarma, Turkey. Do you understand?
Yes. Okay, this makes pretty much sense, the differentiation between these three different names, Togarma, Gomer, and Magog. But is there any way in the Bible that it says clearly where does the Antichrist come from?
You know the address, the block, and the apartment.
That would be easy.
Go to Daniel 8. There is a very good scripture. And I'll give you some maps to publish, all right?
Yes.
So, read verse 9, what it says. So, a little background, what are we talking about here? Daniel 8 is talking about the he-goat, which represents Alexander the Great and Greece, attacking the ram, which represents Medo-Persia, and destroys them. All right? Alexander the Great, with 45,000 soldiers, destroyed Medo-Persia, which by then was only Persia, which was 350,000 strong army with the elephants, which were the tanks of the day. Elephants, all kinds of stuff, chariots. They were really outnumbered, all right? But Alexander the Great, they destroyed them with just 45,000, all right? So that's what he's talking about. So then Alexander the Great, he died, all right? And the prophecy, it says that this kingdom, all right, divided in four directions after Alexander died. So these four directions are shown, you can read it, verse 9, chapter 8, Daniel 8.
Daniel 8, verse 9.
Yes, this is a continuation of what I'm talking about. Like after the kingdom of Alexander, in fact, on his deathbed, his four general, went to him and said, who do you give your kingdom to? And he said, to the strongest. So those guys look each other in the face, the four general, very, very valiant and courageous and noble. They had the desire to fight the other three. So they divide the kingdom in four parts. These four parts, you can see in any history book, was respectively Egypt, Syria, Persia, etc. over there. And then it was Turkey, and then it was Greece. Greece, was also southern Europe. So that's why the leopard in Daniel 7 had four heads, because it was divided in four kingdoms.
Four generals.
And I also had four wings, okay? So because it was divided into these four generals. Now, here comes verse 9. It's talking about these four divisions that the kingdom of Alexander the Great was divided into after his death. Got it?
Yes.
Daniel 8, 9.
And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land.
Wow. So this gives you the location, the coordinates, where the Antichrist will come from. How do we know he's talking about this little horn?
He's
talking about the Antichrist. Well, read the whole chapter, read the whole context, and you'll see that he will fight against the Lord, against the church, and against everything.
Okay.
If you read the whole context, there's no doubt it's the Antichrist.
So the Antichrist, the little horn, will come from one of the four divisions of the Greek Empire.
Exactly.
And which are the four divisions?
Okay. So the four divisions, I already told you. is like
Greece and
anti-clockwise is Egypt, Syria, which today is Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Iran, Saudi Arabia, etc. All the area. Okay, in those days was only Syria, Iran, Persia. Iran is the new name.
Yeah.
And so that's the second. The third was Turkey, and the fourth was Greece, which of course comprehended the South Europe.
So
you know, the Greek went to Spain, they went to Sicily, they went to southern Italy, they went to north of the Caspian Sea and north of the Black Sea. Three are Muslim areas, yes. And that's why some people think the Antichrist comes from there.
Yeah, but there is a great possibility, no?
Yeah, but there's not.
Okay, let's continue, tell me.
Okay, so it says, out of one of them came up a little horn, which became exceeding great toward the south, east, toward the south, toward the east, and the glorious land. Now, mm-hmm. You have to investigate, you have to search, you have to really, really put your mind and your wisdom here to understand, okay? Because once you decode this prophecy, you understand which one of these four areas the Antichrist comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? So, look. Now, let's start from Egypt, all right?
Okay.
Egypt. So, Egypt, according to these coordinates, the Antichrist would come from Egypt. These coordinates would be wrong. Why?
You mean the coordinates, what
see,
it says?
You see the map here? You have the map in front of your eyes?
The modern Middle East?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's say it comes from Egypt. So, the coordinates says toward the south, east, and pleasant land. The glorious land and New King James, pleasant land and the old King James. Now listen, these coordinates would be wrong.
Why?
Because it doesn't have to say east, unpleasant land. Because from Egypt, if you draw an arrow to east, from Egypt to east, you cross exactly through Israel. So it would have to say east, and pleasant land, glorious land. Glorious land is Israel.
Because of repetition.
Yeah, of course. Do you understand?
So we cannot come from Egypt because the prophecy wouldn't say two times, it would spread towards the east.
Yeah, it doesn't say two times. Understand?
Okay.
Plus, since it's followed by the Muslim country, and Ezekiel 38, it says also Libya specifically, the prophecy also would have to say west, because Libya is west of Egypt.
So there is
something missing here.
Okay, okay.
Okay, let alone is the king of the north. Okay, in Daniel 11, Antichrist is the king of the north. Mm-hmm. Understand? So
okay.
The north, which of course is north of Israel, it's Turkey, but it's also Europe, etc. So there is a lot of things missing. It doesn't go. Next.
Okay. So the next division of the Greek Empire?
Syria, Iran, Persia, Iraq, okay. There. Okay, let's say Syria. It's the same direction. Okay, if you are in Syria and you put these three coordinates, you run into the same problem as Egypt, because it doesn't include Libya. Libya is specifically mentioned in Ezekiel 38, mm-hmm. for the Antichrist. So it doesn't say west.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So again, it doesn't go.
So you are basically taking each division of the Greek Empire and analyzing how the Antichrist should spread. It says towards the south, the east, and the pleasant land, and see with other Bible prophecies if it fits.
Exactly. It doesn't fit because it comes from the north. So if it comes from Syria, it would say north, west, and south.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? It doesn't go from Syria.
Okay.
Because it comes from Turkey too, and from Europe and Russia. But at least from Turkey, for sure. You understand?
Okay.
Togarma is going to follow. So he says it becomes becomes great, okay, exceedingly great. But it ignores the north, where Turkey is, ignores Libya, west. So these coordinates is wrong. It cannot come from Syria or Persia.
I see.
You follow? So even though the Muslim will think, oh, he's the Mahdi, but it doesn't necessarily begin there.
I see.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Hitler, he started in Germany, but Austria followed because he was born in Austria.
Yes.
Okay? So even though he was not like Austria, he was born there. So he might have something to do.
Yeah,
I don't know
where
he's going to be born, of course. Okay, shall we continue anti-clock?
Yeah.
What's the next?
The third division, Turkey.
Turkey. Okay, so put the coordinates in Turkey.
So it says it will spread towards the south, the east, and the pleasant land.
Okay, so It doesn't go, because if he says south, you cross exactly through Israel.
Yeah, that's the plaza.
So it doesn't have to say Israel and south.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's wrong. Plus, the west is missing again, and the north is missing. It's completely...
And Libya is missing again.
Yeah, it's missing again. The west is missing Libya. It shouldn't say the glorious land, because that's south. So it doesn't go. It doesn't go.
Okay. But
let alone the north, because that's, of course, the north. So...
The last division
left
is Greece.
Greece, okay. Which was controlling the whole Europe in those days.
Yeah.
Greece in 331 BC, when Alexander took control, there was not much going on in Europe. But whatever is was of any interest, of any riches, etc., Alexander took over, which was a part of Italy, a little bit of Spain,
mm-hmm.
and north of the Black Sea, Caspian Sea, over there. Mostly was the Black Sea, the north.
So let's say the Antichrist comes from Europe, Greece.
Greece. So the Greece, okay, let's see now. Now put the coordinates.
South.
Okay, south, perfect, because that south, that has all northern Africa.
That's Libya and also,
okay,
yeah.
And then?
East.
East, perfect, because that goes perfectly east, no problem. And?
And the pleasant land.
Pleasant land, glorious land, is exactly in the middle between south and east. You see, it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Can you see? It fits perfectly.
Yeah, it can be, yes.
Okay, they can be. This is the only one.
Yeah, between the four divisions, is the only one that makes more logic.
It's the only one that makes sense. Okay, so we can say that the Antichrist comes from Greece. Now, it doesn't have to be Greece, okay, because Greece was controlling Europe, or the known part of Europe.
Yeah.
Europe, which had any importance. All right? So it comes from Europe.
But now the Antichrist comes from the European nation or from Magog?
Well, he's the leader of Magog, okay? Now, when you say Greece, you say Magog, because Greece controlled this, controlled also the north of the Black Sea, okay, where Magog was, which today is called...
Oh, was anybody there?
Well, yeah, they were the Scythians.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
The Scythians were there. And... today, the area is known as South Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So, Greece controlled Magog. You
okay.
follow? So, at this
yes.
point, the Antichrist can be born in any place of Russia. That's Magog. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Greeks controlled whatever part of Russia or Magog which was livable. They didn't go to Siberia, right? Nobody was in those crazy places. Too cold. You understand? So, basically,
yes.
you have it. Very clear, this Antichrist is coming from north. He's the leader of Magog, and we see that he's going to also become the leader of Europe. They will join together.
So he
because
will be,
Europe is Gomer, understand?
He will have to do with Europe, with Russia, and will have to be a Muslim, so the Muslim countries will follow him?
Yeah, we cannot be dogmatic that he's a Muslim. Maybe he will be a Muslim. Like Obama in America, he sat down in a church, in a Christian church, until he got elected.
Yeah.
As soon as he got elected, you know, his pastor felt betrayed. They realized the guy was just playing double games.
Mm-hmm.
I remember his pastor was his name there. He was preaching. He said, America is the Babylon. The prostitute is going to be destroyed. And all the media freaked out, you know. So it's like the pastor realized they had been double-crossed. He was just playing games, you know. So as soon as he got elected, they said, America is not Christian. We are Muslim, Hindu, we are everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy's a traitor, basically.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Antichrist can pretend to be whatever he wants. He can be a friend of the Muslim. He can be a friend of the second beast, Revelation 13, the one with the horns of a lamb, which is probably going to be a Christian leader. He's going to be something to do with Europe,
mm-hmm.
with Russia. He's going to be a friend of everybody, but mostly the devil.
Amen. So he's just a deceiver.
He's just a deceiver. So you understand that?
Yes. So we knew that the Muslim countries will follow the Antichrist, but now that we find out also the European countries will follow, then what are the Europeans supposed to do?
Okay.
Where are they supposed to go or what?
For sure don't go hide in Russia and not to the Muslim countries. No, well, we can be a jump ahead knowing all these things. Of course, I repeat again for the 10th time. Look, don't take my word for it. Get on your knees. Go to the Bible. And I don't want anybody to follow me and believe what I'm preaching, because I said absolutely no. All right, go to Jesus and make sure he confirms or leads you otherwise. What to do? Well, if we discover this truth, if we discover what's going to happen, we can be a jump ahead of the devil, the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast. All right, wherever you are in England, in Europe, ask the Lord if you are in the right place. If he says yes, because I have a job for you to do, or maybe die as a martyr, I don't know. Or maybe it's a perfect place for you to be, fine. Otherwise, go somewhere else, wherever you're supposed to be. Stay away from nuclear plants, stay away from where the Muslims are, because the Muslims are going to be the Antichrist, people who do the dirty work. They go around killing Christians under the table. They're already doing that.
Yeah.
See, the Muslims, wherever they are, they're threatening the newspaper,
yes.
They're threatening. I saw the commentaries that there are areas in France that you cannot go because the Muslims beat you up. Even the police doesn't go. So the Muslims are already taking over. See, they have the blessing of the spirit, of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. So they have the blessing of the God of the world. All right, so they're going to be like the brown shirts of Hitler, going around doing the dirty work. So be careful of the Muslim, all right? Use wisdom. Don't let them kill you before the time.
Amen.
So what to do? Just study the Bible. I repeat, see what God wants from you. See if you need to move to another continent, another country, another city. For sure, if you live in a big city, have a way to retreat, to get out. The Lord will give you warnings. You know, if you are a child of God, you're not going to be caught unprepared, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. So we're not of the darkness. We are the children of light.
Amen.
We don't sleep like others sleep. We are awake. So Christians sleep. Don't you sleep. Don't go to sleep. Don't go listen to false prophets preaching in some churches, all right? Say sleep, sleep. We're going to be raptured with a bottle of Coca-Cola in our hands and a taxi before tribulation. Not at all. The Christ will come and he will either kill you or you'll take the mark of the beast. It's going to be one or the other. Read Revelation 13. That's it. But if you have Jesus, and I hope you do, if you don't, get on your knees, receive Jesus. Number one, that's not enough. You need to receive also the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus is salvation, but the Holy Spirit is power. You need
Thank
both.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy
Amen.
Spirit will give you wisdom to know what to do, where to go, etc. Find a true church. If there is not a true church in your area, make one in your house. A true church begins from two people. Matthew 18:20, two people is a church. And then if you're a true church, you will not remain two people for very long. You'll be 4, 8, 16, and so on, okay? You'll multiply if you're a true church. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
So we close down the way we began with Jeremiah 29:13.
You
will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen. Amen.
So seek the Lord and seek his will and seek the truth, and the Lord will reveal to you his will.
Amen. I think
Amen.
I finished. The
Thank
Lord
you,
bless
Jesus.
You with wisdom,
Amen.
Which you will receive if you get on your knees,
Thank
if you
Lord.
Force a call.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you just put yourself in the hands of Jesus. If you give Jesus your heart, your soul, your spirit, he will lead you, he will bless you, he will anoint you with his wisdom. And as soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive all these things. You don't need anointing from heaven. You get it from the Spirit. The moment you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got everything. It's one package. You get everything you need now
and
in the future and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I finished.
Amen. God
bless
you. Thank you.
Thank you to you.
God bless you, dear friends. We hear each other again at the next live program together at the same hour, 8 o'clock Central American Time. Send in your questions because they are interesting and they also make us get busy studying. So please write in.
God bless
we
you,
enjoy
brother.
It.
That was a very intelligent question, he sent.
Yes.
Give us a chance to feed a lot of sheep here.
Yes, we enjoy your questions. So write in and write in your impressions, your comments, your agreements, disagreements. We enjoy receiving your messages.
We are receiving a very intelligent question lately.
Yes.
Praise God.
God bless you. We love you.
Amen.
Stay close to Jesus.